We're going to go after a particular culture this morning. We're going to go after the unoffendable heart. Yeah. Wow. I feel like you guys are unoffendable already, man. Let's go to the beach right now. Amen. Yeah, I heard it. Yes. To the beach. All right. So unoffendable heart, want to just make it. I'm just going to, you know, make it as simple as I can. Does that sound good? Okay, first thing I want to do is define what the word offense means. Why do I want to do that? I think in our context, we've come to know the term unoffendable. Like I just said, unoffendable, and the whole place is like, yes, right? Okay. But in our normal English conversation in our generation, we don't typically use the term offense. Is that true? Like I didn't walk around pre-Jesus or pre-whatever and say like, I feel so offended right now. I just never said that, you know? So I just want to read out in simplicity what the dictionary says about offense, just so we can understand at a basic level what we're talking about. Here we go. Offense is this. You ready? You ready? It's annoyance or resentment. Annoyance or resentment brought about by perceived insult or disregard for me or my standard or my principles. So I'm going to read it again. It's annoyance or resentment brought about by perceived insult or disregard for me and my standard. Me or my standard or my principles. So I'm just going to give you a couple of words that I think are the same as offended or offense or offendable. Okay. Is anger, frustration, or tension? So here we go. I'm just going to make it as simple as for me. Sometimes I just have to, for my own mind. When I am easily offended, it just means any time I have any level of tension with another human being. And I'm specifically using the word tension because I think we've made that like an okay thing. Like, we just have a little tension. It's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal because really at the core level of that, I'm annoyed or have a resentment or a frustration with you. And my tension with you is a non-love activity because it takes from me my ability to love you like Christ. So freedom at the end of the day is all about removing everything in my life non-love. So that my whole life can be aimed in the direction of? Say it again. Love. Okay. Now, if you're anything like me, I'm prone towards a tendency of being easily offended. Meaning, it seems like tension is like a nanosecond away anytime, any day. Who's ever had, if you're honest, how many of you would say like, man, I can identify with that. It just takes one wrong conversation. One, how about this? Takes one wrong look, one wrong non-interaction. Like, I want an interaction right now. You didn't even say anything to me, you know? You know? Takes one weird moment where I see my friends across the room having a conversation and a thought hits my mind. They're probably talking about me, which there's no basis for that. But my heart is easily taken over by the concept I'm easily offended. My roommate made too much noise and woke me up a little bit. So tense right now. Bro, could you pick up your towel for the 48th time today? I'm so annoyed by you because you violated my standard of cleanliness. Or how about this? I am offended because you asked me to pick up my towel because you violated my standard of freedom. It's America, man. America. This is America, man. Home of the free, the land of the brave. I can let my towel sit there all you want, man. So right now, my towel is between you and Jesus, you know. What I'm doing is I'm tense. I have tension because you're asking me to pick up my towel. I'm trying to make these as, can we just make offense a little bit less grandiose? Right? So just like more normal. Am I the only guy who ever like, man, you worked hard and your buddy starts giving credit up front and genuinely just forgets to say your name. And then in your chair, you're like, unbelievable. I see. Duly noted. Next time you need help, you will be learning a lesson. Oh, well, come on. Am I the only guy who's ever... You might not think it out that far, but can we be honest about the tension that resides right here? Like, oh, man, that's a bummer. You know, you see your friend and they look sunburnt. Oh, you sound so sunburnt. Yeah, a bunch of us went to the beach yesterday. Strange, maybe my phone's not working. Oh, no, we just didn't call you. Okay. Well, I'm going to go to the beach right now and not call you, you know? Am I the only... I'm just so going to get vulnerable right now and just going to... You're all going to go, he needs Jesus, and I'm totally comfortable with that. Am I the only guy who's like a massive, like, inclusion is a big deal to me? And if I'm not included, I'm suddenly like... You would just think like you drug me out of my house, beat me within an inch of my life, called everyone in my family a name. I'm just like, I'm so mad right now. You went out and you didn't call me, man. I thought we were friends, you know? And then in my mind, whoever is an epic speech master in your mind. Oh, yeah. Okay, note to self, if you can carry on an internal 30-minute speech where you absolutely undo someone in your mind, like, I'm just going to dice you right now. You might be slightly offended, slightly. If you can carry on a week-long conversation, I'm going to get honest right now. Some of us have been carrying on a 10-year conversation in our mind. That's called offense. I'm mad. Just can we make it normal language that my six-year-old gets? Everyone say mad.
Mad.
So you can call it tension. You can call it distance. You can call it call it whatever you want. But at the end of the day, I'm mad. I'm offended, right? And I don't know what to do with that tension in my heart. And I just had a revelation in my life, Matt Nelson, I'm so easily offended. Like, it is not even hard for the enemy. Doesn't even have to plot. He can push the same big red button that he gets every day. Just goes, you're easy, man. Easy prey. Boom. Oh, you felt excluded. There he goes again. That'll take him 2.5 weeks to unwind from. And I want to be honest, though, about offense. Really, truly, when you look at offense, doesn't it have that kind of effect on us? It's not like a 5-minute moment. When offense is left unchecked, that baby will grow. Right? All of a sudden, you're 2 weeks later, you're like, I don't know, I just don't feel connected with that guy. I don't feel like he really gets me. I thought we were bros. We're clearly not bros, you know? Like, doesn't he know? Like, all my greatest injustices in life were rejection, betrayal, and that's what he's doing to me. And just, like, I'm like, bro, all he did is he walked to the store and got milk, and he forgot to ask you. And I'm like, no, he meant something by the deal, you know? So I'm just saying offense. The enemy pushes a button and makes us offended. You see what I'm saying? To become so, I want to speak to this specifically in the context of teamwork. I'm choosing that application today because the vast majority of you are in outreach teams or on staff teams, and I've seen no other category where a culture of offense or being easily offendable has a major impact. It can absolutely just shatter your team. Like, you know, you can live with a team and be totally divided and offended with one another, yet cohabitate. And it keeps the power of God from really flowing through that team. Why? Because we don't really have the values of heaven. Because the Bible commands us to be in the same type of unity that the Trinity are in. Now, have you thought about what kind of unity those guys have? I have. I don't know. I'd like to go see and visit it sometime. But I just imagine in my mind, like, that's probably the best unity you could ever find. So does my outreach team flow in the kind of harmony and joy and selfless love, preferring my brother and sister as the Trinity, or do I have a different set of values and then I ask the Lord to come into my values and flow through my values? And I've seen in my life where the Lord's like, I love you tons, but no, I won't. You have to adapt to my values. Wow, it got super quiet in here. I'm nervous right now. Are we okay? So I just felt like this. What if we went after every category in our life we're easily offended? Okay, now next thought on this. Here we go. We're going to do that in a second. Next thought on this would be this. In teaching and freedom, often we talk about the power of forgiveness. Everyone say forgive.
Forgive.
Totally biblical, and if we had time, we'd teach it like crazy this week. Okay, so for a while, I felt really great about where I was at because I became great at the tool of forgiveness. Now, I want to highly recommend you become great at the tool of forgiveness, the weapon of forgiveness, because it's powerful. But what I want to say is, for me, I finally came to a conclusion where I went, it's not even enough to be a great forgiver. Because if I'm easily offended and a great forgiver, then I'll spend all my days stuck in the cycle of offense, forgive, offense, forgive, offense, forgive. Because the enemy literally will stand by you. I'm just going to show you how simple this works. I'm going to be the enemy. Jim is Jim. And Jim, you just became a great forgiver. Say, I forgive.
I forgive.
He'll just push the button of offense. Oop, there it is. How many of you know the enemy's a master of that? Has anyone other than me ever experienced, like, he knows which one to touch? Like, how did you know to do that? So then, you know, let's say Jim is really actually solid. Like, he's got a lot of maturity. So he's like, man, I can work through that and forgive in like 20 minutes. Let's be honest. Does anyone ever take 20 minutes just to work through something? Like, I need to go to the prayer room, think. Jesus. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I'm back. Okay. Right? I think that's amazing. I'm stoked for that. But how many of you know the enemy was like, oh, sweet. Say, I forgive.
I forgive.
Great. Push the button again. So take another 20 minutes now. Work through.
I'm good. I forgive.
Great. Push the button again. Has anyone like me ever just come out of like, I actually feel like no tension. It's a miracle. I've been working for a month on that relationship privately. I've been praying and fasting. I'm telling you, this has happened to me so many times. I no more than step out of the doorway of that breakthrough and like something happens to me. Who's ever had that experience? So do you understand my point? Is for me, it's not enough even to be a master of the principles of forgiveness, because otherwise we'll just play checkers with the enemy all day long. He'll go, great, I'm glad to serve up offendable situations for you all day long. Dudes, can I just be honest for a second? We live in the world. It's filled with unsaved people. The Bible says what they did to Jesus, they're going to do to me. So how can I really expect to radically love an unsaved world if I'm easily offendable? Because I'm so offended by every lost person. I don't like your language. I don't like the way you look at me. I don't like the way. Well, they're lost, dude. Of course they're offended with you. And they're not going to treat you like a Christian because they're not a Christian. But somehow I'm going to put on my giant J shirt today and my WWJD bracelet and charge into the world like I'm ready to save you now. And the enemy goes, great, you're 6 seconds away from just total turmoil because you're going to be offended by everyone you encounter. And then your teammate, you know, he just doesn't give you that right love. You know, you're moving in radical ways and he just doesn't encourage you. And all of a sudden, like, man, I just felt like we were bros, you know, like I'm trying to just show out with our brothers and sisters how normal I think. What about this on outreach? You want to know what the major category of offense for my outreach team? We went to Cambodia. Anyone heading to Cambodia? Okay. Yeah. Let's just talk about food for a second. Because we're from America, you know, like America, man. We need American-sized portions of meals, right? And then they were amazing people, and they made you dinner. It was an exquisite dinner, right? And it was gone in like 2 bites. And then I was looking around and all the team, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm like, bro, look at your plate right now. Like, come on, man. We're supposed to be a radical selflessness. Only I'm so mad at you right now because you ate my food, which is just selfishness. But never mind that, you know. Nutella was like the biggest outbreak of fights on our team. Can I get a witness on Nutella? Because all of a sudden everyone was running from the Nutella bar. Like, I ate all my dinner and my buddy's dinner, and I'm still hungry. So Nutella now, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, like we had kids on our outreach. We had one other family with kids. We were just trying to get our kids like to sit down, buckle them up, play, and then I'd look over and the deal's like licked clean. And I'd be like, you guys probably never had a fight over food. The best fight my wife and I have ever had, we've been married 11 years, was totally over a Thanksgiving meal. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm not proud. I am proud of that moment. Now I'm coming clean with you. Coming clean. In my house growing up, your plate was sacred territory. You never took food off someone's plate. Can I get any guy, bro? Two bros in the back. Anyone else? Any ladies who want to be bold enough and say, yeah, okay, there we go. Thank you. Okay, well, my wife was the youngest of six children. So she learned early, you learn to take or you learn not to eat. And then so in her family, it was just free reign. You know, it's like, oh, you got two rolls, I got nine. Obviously, one of those belongs to me. Boom, you know. So first year of marriage, first Thanksgiving, family sitting around. I make my plate. Now, how many of you know Thanksgiving meal, that plate is like a work of art? Thank you. It's like the Leaning Tower of Matt, you know, just like food's going crazy. I don't need to go for seconds. I'm fitting it all in this round in Jesus' name. And then going back for seconds. Come on, Matt. I feel like you did good at Thanksgiving meals, bro. Yeah. Choo-choo, the freight train's back here. Okay. So here we are. First year, first deal. Plate is made. I'm like, I'm literally that second, like my fork was in my hand. This is not an exaggeration. If she were here, she'd tell you this. And I was like, oh, this is so good. And all of a sudden, a hand from the right side reaches in. My dinner roll goes. And I was like, oh. Like, you would have thought, like, someone stole my wallet right now and just, like, emptied my bank account. I was like, what in the world are you thinking right now? I know, none of you would do that. I know. You would be like, I love you so much. Like, I'm so stoked to be married. What's mine is yours. No, I was like, no, what's mine is mine right now. It's Thanksgiving. Okay. I'm not proud of this. I have changed. I have tons of repentance. My wife would tell you if she was here, my plate is an open book for anyone now. But I'm just saying, first year, there was a lot of growth needed. A lot, okay? So then she looks at me like, she goes like, what? I was like, what? What do you mean what? You just took a roll. And she goes, I know, they didn't have a roll. And I was like, yeah, but you didn't even ask about the roll. And she's like, I didn't know I had to ask. I thought we were married. You had two. They had none. I just took one. So we are having a moment at the table. Oh, yeah. And it's her family's house, not mine. Oh. Awkward. Everyone say awkward. Yeah. Okay. That would have been a great moment for unoffendable heart. No. Offendable, man. And I was not even ready to move into forgiveness. I wanted to have a discussion about that subject. Okay. So I'm having fun with it. But am I the only one who ever gets so offended over just silly little categories like that? And it's just like the enemy, it's like open season. Anytime he wants to hit, he just knows exactly that a button push, right, boom, there he is. Okay, everyone grab your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17. Just want everyone to know, for the record, if this is being recorded, I repented aggressively to my wife, said I was sorry many times, and I've demonstrated a lot of growth in this category. My wife is amazing. Obviously, that I was wrong in that situation. It's totally selfish to have two dinner rolls. I only needed one, man. Could have given that one away. Okay, there we go. I was just want to make sure we're clear. I was wrong for being so offendable. All right. Luke 17, verse 1, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. Another translation says, offenses are sure to come. Okay, offenses, another translation says, offenses are sure to come. And the translation of offenses are things that tempt us to move into sin. Okay? But woe to the person through whom they come. So here's what we want to go after in simplicity is this. I really believe that for us to move out of an offendable heart into an unoffendable heart is more than just saying, I need to be a great forgiver. It's more than just saying even, I want to be unoffendable. I, in fact, find the more that I focus on being unoffendable, the more what do I become? Offendable, because I'm just so focused on that subject in my life. So here's what I found. To move out of an unoffendable heart, I want to give us a different focus. So don't go, okay, I'm going to work hard to be unoffended. I think that's a great outcome. But I think then we're just so focused on it. Here's what I would say in simplicity. Catch this phrase. I think it will make the whole subject clear. Anytime, and I'm using that term, anytime in my life I've ever been offended, absolutely bar none, the core issue was my pride. Offense and pride are one and the same, and they're linked together. If you burrow down into that tension, I promise you, at the root of that, you will find there's something I felt I had a right to, something I felt I deserved, something I felt I was entitled to. I didn't get that. And when you remove all the professional Christianese mature language, down under there is a four-year-old who wanted what I wanted. Is it okay if I'm just that vulnerable for Matt Nelson? That was my dinner roll. I wanted the dinner roll. Never mind, there's 12 more in the kitchen. That was mine. So silly, yet there it was. Okay? So I want to give us the opposite. If we'll reach for this attribute, I promise you it'll solve all of your offense categories. The radical opposite is this, is a heart of humility. It's so simple. If I will reach for the heart of Christ, because remember, Christ was the ultimate picture of humility, the ultimate picture of love. I'm going to explain this. If I will reach for that, the byproduct is offense just becomes cleaned up. Because when we have a revelation that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, that's what the Bible says. He was the ultimate humble master, the ultimate man of humility. When we will reach for that attribute, then all of a sudden, in order to move into humility, I have to surrender all of my rights. Do you know that when we give our life to Jesus, what we're saying is, I surrender every right. I surrender every right that my constitution says I should have. Praise God for it, but I surrender it in the name of Jesus. Jesus gave up his right to be in heaven. He came down and put on flesh, right? And he goes, it will be my joy to live among you and demonstrate the love of God among you. I will live for you a perfect life to pay the price for your sins. Then I'll die for you, misunderstood, rejected, abandoned, poorly treated my whole life. I mean, come on, his closest dudes misunderstood everything he said and then bailed on him in the moment of need. Hanging on the cross, betrayed, right? And what's the epic phrase that flows from his mouth? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. For me, the humility of that moment to look at someone who legitimately did wrong, there was a real injustice. There was real pain. I mean, we're laughing at non-real pain. Is it okay we're making fun of really a lot of what offends us is non-real pain? And then there's real pain. But even at both, Jesus modeled for us radical humility. He goes, God, don't hold it against him. They just don't understand. And he modeled to us, he didn't have to work through the cycle of forgiveness. It wasn't even an issue because he never took offense. I don't need to use the principles because I'm not offended. I didn't think about it. All I know is my heart is filled with radical love for you. I understand who you are. I see you as God sees you. My heart overflows for you. So even as you're betraying me and running from me right now, I'm oozing with love for you. This is my joy for you. And that's the standard at which he calls us to live. So if we could grasp that humility and aspire to humility like that, right, then the unoffendable heart becomes the natural byproduct. In your Bibles, I want you to look here real quick. Don't look, you don't go here. Matthew 23 says, the greatest among you will be your slave or your servant, is what the Bible says. So in God's economy, the highest that you could arrive at would be a servant. That would be what we aspire to. I love this. Look in your Bibles at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and I want to read just a few verses here, starting at verse 7. So Luke 17, verse 7, and I'll read through verse 10. This is Jesus speaking. He gives this parable. I love this parable. Just as we're reading this, I want you, just for a second, please, here, let me see your eyes. As I read this, I want you to consider these words in our modern day context. If we spoke to each other this way, how offensive this language would be. This is what Jesus says. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant, or would you say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Wouldn't that be a loving, polite thing to do? Like, bro, you've been working hard in the field all day. You've been blessing me, man. You're serving me. Love your heart. Come on in. I made dinner for you. Here it is. What do you say to the servant when he comes in from the field? Come along now, sit down and eat. Question mark. Verse 8. Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? Question mark. Just think for a second about the picture of just selfless, endless, just serving that paints. And I love this heart that Jesus says to have. Verse 10, so you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. And I love the image of the servant. I can't explain this, but in my mind, I don't see a frustrated, defeated, bum servant. I see a joyful servant who's like, are you kidding? You saved my life, man. I didn't deserve it. I didn't pay for that. It was my joy to work in the field all day. And even if I came in and you said to me, sit down, I'd say, you sit down because you saved my life. I'm serving you now. And don't worry, I'll have a smile on my face because the commands of God are not burdensome. That's what the Bible says. So never a burden to obey you, man. I know what I deserved and you rescued me. You chased me when I was even looking for you. We call that a bond servant, a bond slave. Everyone say bond slave.
Bond slave.
Look in your Bibles at Philippians chapter 2. I love that picture. So in Luke 17, in my mind's eye, I see the servant. He's not bummed. He comes in with joy. Like, are you kidding? It's totally my pleasure. I came in early from the field. I cleaned up. And in fact, I made something special for you, master. Have a seat. It's going to be a great dinner. Like, he never runs out of the joy of serving. That, to me, grasps something of humility that Jesus is telling us to aspire to. Philippians 2, imitating Christ's humility. Let's pick it up here in verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Period. I want you to think on this for a second. What would our outreach teams or our families or our marriages or our relationships with our kids, what would our everyday life be like if we just literally applied that phrase? Everyone that I engage in the course of a day, I see is better than me. Verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Everyone say servant.
Servant.
Being made in human likeness. Just so we're clear, to be made in human likeness was not so much an upgrade from the Trinity moment. Is that, like, he loves, but I just want to make sure we're clear that wasn't... That was an act of tremendous humility to become the Son of Man for all eternity. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I want to point this out, that Jesus, remember when he said, I came to earth not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. His whole drive in coming to earth was to be the greatest servant. And then he sends us into the world in John chapter 17 with the exact same commission he was sent into the world. So I think our goal, this is the answer to me, the unoffendable heart. If I can lay hold of humility and that my job is to be the most radical servant of anyone in the room and there's never an off day and it's not burdensome. If I could actually develop a love for being the lowest and the most radical servant, then I think therein would be the life of greatest joy and peace you could ever imagine. Because my life would align with the values of Jesus. Amen. So radical servant, I know you've heard the song. Who's heard the song? Right? It's awesome. But I just want to say, you all know the punchline. Let's be radical servants. Right? But I thought for me what would be good is, am I moving too quick through this? Or do we feel like, okay, we're... Okay. So what I want to do is this, is I thought it would be awesome if we just addressed a few categories of offense that I think we all probably could identify with. Would that be cool? And I just thought, man, let's just corporately just face those and go, in Jesus' name, I'm going after humility. I'm just, okay, I want to tell you guys this. Honestly, I can honestly say this. Anytime I've ever been tense since understanding kind of a tiny bit these principles, every time I'm ever tense, if I in my mind will stop and go, okay, what is it, Lord, what is the way out of this? Humility, it's strange. I can't explain this very good, but I'm going to do my best. Humility offers you an instant exit from the tension. I almost, every time I pause and say, Lord, I'm tense right now, speak to me. Almost 9.9, maybe 10 out of 10 times, the Lord will say to me, he'll say, evaluate what you're tense about and tell me if you yourself are not guilty of that. I can't explain why, but man, that is fast working medicine. No, I'm serious. It changes my, I'm capable of emotion. It's not my propensity, but man, I will feel an instant lift in my chest where I'm tense. If I'll go, okay, what is it I'm upset about? Okay, I felt excluded. And then the Lord will say, well, Matt, have you ever excluded anyone? Oh, suddenly free, liberated, guilty. It's weird because in humility, I recognize not only am I guilty, but if I'm not guilty, I'm certainly capable of. And it's weird how it just cleans up that offense because I go, well, gosh, I've done that 100 times. Or it enables me to see when I was guilty of that, did I do it on purpose? No, it was a total accident. It broke my heart. And then suddenly I'm able to identify with the person. Whatever occurred, they probably didn't get out of bed to intentionally make me have a bad day. They just had a moment like I have moments every day, and suddenly it just doesn't matter anymore. So humility leads you into an instant exit from the offense and just keeps us from the life cycle of forgive offense, forgive offense, forgive offense, which can become a victimized cycle of life. So let's all stand up together. Okay, so I'm just going to read out a category at a time, and then we're just going to give it to the Lord. Do we all feel joy in the room? Yeah. All right. Humility and servanthood, I think, is the greatest joy we could ever experience. Here we go. First category of offense that I think especially in teams can really take us out is this. It's offense at being held to biblical standards and attributes. So it would mean this. Anytime I know what the Bible says, but I'm actually held to that standard, I just want to be honest, that's offensive. Like seriously, so I actually have to put on joy today? And you're going to make me do that? You're going to make me thank Jesus again today. We did that yesterday. That's offensive. Seriously, I have to serve him again? I've been cleaning up the dishes every day. It's their turn. So what I found in my life, if I'm honest, it's one thing to know the biblical standard. It's offensive to be held to the biblical standard. But think about in your team, if we have a culture where it's off limits to hold each other to biblical standard, then what kind of culture do we have? So I can never say to Jim, like, I don't know, bro, I feel like we should be on time. The Bible says, kind of, I think, and it's a good quality. But I can never say that. I'm like, don't say that, bro. Do not say that, bro. Do not. Just leave it alone. Trust me, man. It'll be like riding a wild bull if we do that right now. It'll disrupt the whole day. But some of us are like that in our offense. Just get so wild. Okay. Super quiet right now. So this is the phrase that we felt like the Lord gave. And I just knew I smiled. And my wife said it on the phone this morning. She helped me. My wife, again, saving us today. Just so helping me. Thank God for her. She picked up the phone. This is a phrase. She goes, I can't believe you're asking me to do this. So just be any category where someone asks me to do something and it's totally a Bible verse, like front door, just so clear. We should go win the lost. I cannot believe you're asking me to do outreach again today. Well, bro, it's a DTS. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing. You know, that's why we came. I came. We have a song we sing with our sons because we're working on joy in our house. How many of you feel like, man, I'd like more joy? So here's what we're training our 6 and our 4-year-old on. Joy doesn't come because you wait on it. It comes because you put it on. So the Bible says, put on joy. So we wrote we wrote a song. The boys helped us write a song, and it's called Put On Joy Like a T-Shirt. So we just start singing the song, put on joy like a T-shirt, put on joy like a T-shirt. And the kids, they'll start like this. At first, they're like, they look like I just stole their greatest toy. But then in like 10 seconds, they're like, okay, all right, I'm putting on joy. They'll start singing the song, right? Well, to me, all we're doing is, they do the same to us. Don't think they don't have us sing the song too. Those of you who have kids, how many of you know they're pretty good at holding you to standards? Dad, you look angry right now. I am not angry. My six-year-old is awesome at this. I don't know, Dad. You look kind of mad right now. He'll just say that. Dad, I kind of felt like when you talked, this is classic discipline. Dad, I felt earlier when you talked with me, you were a little angry. And I'm like, but in that moment, will I humble myself or go, hey, you're six and I'm 33 and I'm dad and you're not, and just zip it over there, Skippy. You know, I wasn't angry. Or do you go like, you know what, dude, under Holy Spirit lie detector test, you're totally right. Your discernment's right on the money. You're six and you have a gift of discernment. It's not even a gift. It was obvious to everyone on the block. I was mad. And all you're doing is holding me to a biblical standard. This happens all the time. So I go, come here, baby. Put him on the lap seat. I'm so sorry, Daddy was angry. Would you forgive me? He'll go, yeah, Dad, totally. Like, he's totally happy. What if we had a culture where at any time you could say, I don't know, he just... Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you a few more phrases on this first category. I'm asked to do something, and here's the phrase. Don't you know my life experience? Do you know what I'm capable of? Like, seriously, that's what you want me to do? Or how about this? Don't you know my limitations? Don't you know I'm not capable of that? Being offended to ask to do things we perceive are below our capability or above. Here's my view. That pretty much covers everything I could ever ask to do. So are we tracking right now with the theme of how offended I can become when I'm asked to do anything? Here we go. Let's all pray this together. In Jesus' name. We say yes. To a biblical standard. We say yes to being held to that.
We say yes to being held to that.
And holding others to that. We won't pray that. I think you cover this in your prayer, but being asked to function in a role we perceive as outside of our gift pack would be part of that. Okay, here we go. Let's do second category. We okay?
Yes.
Sing this with me. Put on joy like a T-shirt. Put on joy like a T-shirt. Put on joy like a T-shirt. Okay, here we go. You can see my songwriting skills. It's not my gift pack, but I'm functioning in that role in Jesus' name. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Category of offense. We're almost there, you guys. We're like literally a couple minutes out. So hang with me. Do you guys have energy just to plow these out of the way? Okay, offense. Anytime that we're inconvenienced on behalf of the team. Anytime we're inconvenienced on behalf of the team. Putting aside what's best for me if it advances or pushes forward the team. I want to make this one really practical. Let's really think on our practical circumstances. I'd rather have one roommate. I have six. Not convenient, but it's best for the team. Or am I good with that, or am I in constant tension of like, roommates, and just, this is terrible, and writing on Skype, man, this is terrible out here, man. How's outreach? Good, but hard. It's like the answer everyone always says. I want to challenge you to come back with a different report than good but hard. How about this? It was amazing. Okay, here we go. This is key for me. This will help us on this category of offense. If we can learn to view life through a team perspective, meaning this, when the team wins, I win. Versus, I need to be in the middle of the win. Can I pass the ball, or I got to be the guy who dunks it? Boom. So for me, just any time I can go, hey, our team won and I wasn't part of it, doesn't matter because I have a team perspective on life. I just went on the team. practical cost of living, living situations, sacrifice, anytime sacrifice is proposed to us. Here we go. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We say yes.
We say yes.
To being inconvenienced.
To being inconvenienced.
For the sake of the team.
For the sake of the team.
We receive with joy.
We receive with joy.
All costs.
All costs.
We say yes to sacrifice.
We say yes to sacrifice.
For the sake of the team.
For the sake of the team.
With joy.
With joy.
Okay, here we go. Third category. I think sometimes this is an offense category. How many of you know it's not just people we get offended with, but God's ways can be offensive sometimes? If you're like me, often it feels like the worst thing to say, but if I was just, he knows anyways. Sometimes for me, the Holy Spirit's like, say this phrase with me. I'm offended with you, God. And you just have to go like, I am, man. The way, your ways right now, this was not what I was dreaming when the prophetic word came. And I'm feeling like, I don't know, you know, like, seriously? And the Lord goes, yeah, it's okay. We're going to get through it. I'm totally loving you. I'm not at a distance, but you have to admit the phrase, you're offended with me. Do you trust my ways are the perfect way to make you? I heard Mike Pickles say this one time. God's highest way to train David to be king was to put him under a demonized boss. And I was like, and I'll be going to the prayer room now to consider my past, present, and my future in Jesus' name. I was like, I never thought of that. God's highest way to make David into the man after his heart was to give him a boss who was totally demonized and tried to kill him. And he could not speak against him or retaliate. That was God's highest. I don't know if you're like me. I'm like, kind of offensive. Can we get a better way to be trained? I'd like the really super pastoral, encouraging guy. Okay, so here we go. Third category of offense is who God asks us to be teammates with. Because usually when God makes our teams, he puts us with people who are different than us. And that's offensive. Because we'd like to be with people who think like we think, talk like we talk, walk like we walk, laugh when we laugh. Right? And it's awkward when you're like, man, we are totally different. But the Lord goes, I know it's for your best. You'll be way more fruitful. Trust me. So we have to let go of building our own team and say, Lord, I give you permission to build a team for me that is truly in my highest interest. Does that sound good? How about this? Offense toward God when he asks you to submit to imperfect leaders. All right. But I want to add a bonus to this. Can I add a bonus? The Bible says in reverence to God, submit to one another. Yeah. So God will not only ask you to submit to imperfect leaders, but he'll ask you to submit to your peers. And trust me, there's no one we're more familiar with than your peer. And you're like, look, man, Lauren Cunningham can say anything he wants to me, but you are not Lauren Cunningham, friend. But I just told you my 6-year-old will call me out on my stuff and the Holy Spirit will go, listening. Now would be a good time for listening. Okay, here we go. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We say yes.
We say yes.
To letting God build my team.
To letting God build my team.
I'm stoked to not be in charge.
I'm stoked to not be in charge.
My plans never work good anyways. I say yes.
I say yes.
To being humble.
To being humble.
With imperfect leaders.
With imperfect leaders.
And my peers.
And my peers.
Okay, here we go. Fourth category. We got two more in us?
Yes.
All right. Do we feel like these are relevant?
Yes.
Okay. I feel personally it's offensive when we feel hidden, unrecognized, or unappreciated. So anytime I feel hidden, unrecognized, or unappreciated for what I do, and I'd like to add in, sometimes I feel appreciated, but not quite the way I'd like to be appreciated. It's offensive. Is it okay to be honest? How about this? You give your guts, you reach as hard as you can, you really do your very best, and then your amazing leader rightfully says to you, great job, but I think let's talk about two or three categories we could strengthen. And they say it with a good spirit, like it's actually healthy for you to grow. And I'm like, unbelievable. Do you know what I did? I was my very best. So how about this? It's offensive when we give our best and God asks for more. How about this? Offensive when God asks me to be faithful with a little because I thought I was going to get much. It's offensive when God asks us to be faithful with little because I thought I was going to be given much. Like, Lord, when I got my original design and they said I was going to be the greatest prophetic wonder to ever hit the world, except for you, of course. And right now, I feel like all you ever give me is one word deals. And then the Lord's like, I know, more to come in the future, but can you be faithful with the one word statement? Well, I feel ready to be faithful with the trance right now. So bring on the trance, you know? Like, Lord, you said I was going to be a healer, and everyone I pray for looks at me like I'm strange and nothing happens. And then the Lord will say, awesome, can you be faithful in that place until power breaks through? So that's how, for me, I would define, I wanted much, but I'm frustrated I have to be faithful with little first. Am I the only guy who's ever like, I'm ready to be pastor of a mega church now. And the Lord's like, clean the kitchen. No, mega church now. I would be amazing as a mega church pastor now. And then the Lord will go, no, if you have eyes to see, you know, a mega church is a big kitchen. It has more messes to clean up. If you can't clean this kitchen, you'll never clean that kitchen. So it's actually my highest interest he's looking out for. We have to trust him. Everyone say trust. Okay, I know we're totally over, you guys. I'm sorry. But really not. Sorry. Because I believe, and I'm serious, I think for some of you, this is going to save your outreach team. Do you realize the application's that close of this? Here we go. You guys are so in, man. I know you're on fire. I feel it from you guys from day one. I know you're in. You don't have to convince me. The Lord knows. I know. I'm more just telling you, these really are mine. That's why I'm reading them out loud. This is Matt Nelson. Okay, here we go. How about this? Offended when I don't feel truly known or understood. Listen, man. You just don't know what I'm going through right now. You've never been through what I'm going through. I'm pretty sure I share a room with you. We're going through the same things. But okay. I don't feel truly known by my team, so I feel lonely. How many of you know loneliness is offensive? It's hard to feel lonely when you're surrounded by people. And here's what I feel the Lord would say to us. The reason we feel that usually is because we put on people the burden of intimacy that only Christ can fulfill. So when you don't feel known by your team, say this to yourself. Say, that's okay, because I'm the bond slave, so the team doesn't need to understand me. I don't have a right to be understood. Jesus was not understood. Jesus was radically misunderstood all the way through. Right? So then I'm not perfect at this. It takes me time, and I sweat a lot. But sometimes then I just go, okay, I don't feel understood, but that is okay because the only one I need to understand me is Jesus. Wait. And there's no doubt he understands me. The only one who's working on getting understanding in our relationship is me. See what I mean? So I need not worry, does he understand me? I need to go, do I understand you? I know nothing of betrayal. You know everything. Teach me, Jesus. Do you see what I mean? So humility enables you to go, man, I love my team. Those guys would die for me and I'd die for them. I'm getting my intimacy from Jesus. So my bro comes to me and goes, man, I want to say I'm sorry to you. I did X, Y, and Z. I go, oh, bro, you don't even need to say sorry. I never thought about it. It never occurred to me. I'm radically in love with you. Can do no wrong in my eyes. Let's keep running. Because I'm going to Jesus. Let's say this. I say yes. To finding my heart in Jesus.
To finding my heart in Jesus.
I say yes to serving.
I say yes to serving.
While hidden.
While hidden.
Unrecognized.
Unrecognized.
And not appreciated.
And not
Again, our standard, don't be like me. Please don't be like me. Let's be like Jesus. To me, Jesus embodied every one of those. He was stoked to go to the cross, even though he knew you won't appreciate it till it's all said and done. But it didn't matter to me. It's okay. He's like, I love you. Okay, here we go. Fifth and last one. We're offended by any categories of waiting. To wait is it's offensive. Am I the only guy? So we hold a promise without a fulfillment. How many of us hold a promise without a fulfillment? Raise your hand. And this is the phrase that the Lord was highlighting from my heart this morning. So I'm just going to share this in total transparency. And I was convicted definitely and getting right now with you. Was the Lord highlighted this phrase in my heart. And I know, because it's funny, in the last 3 days I've said this phrase to the Lord. So I'm just so guilty. And it's awesome. I'm filled with joy right now because he's getting me liberated into total joy. Here we go. Here's the phrase of my heart. Why did you show me this if you're not going to do it? Like, seriously, God, I just would have been better without the dream. And then I feel in the kindness of the Lord. He's like, really? I think you're better with the dream. That's why I gave it to you. I've tried to give you a glimpse of the future, not to torment you, but so you could take heart and know where you're headed and stay in the game. So then I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm sorry I'm offended with your timing right now. God's timing is offensive to us because it's not usually our timing. Are we tracking? So here we go. Let's say this. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We say yes.
We say yes.
To joyfully waiting on God.
To joyfully waiting.
We say yes.
We say yes.
With joy.
With joy.
To God's timing.
To God's timing.
I love this verse. There's a verse in the New Testament or in the Gospels that says this, that God is not slow in keeping his promises as some understand slowness. Rather, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. A couple months ago, I was meditating on that and I had a thought. I go, oh my word, anytime, because when you feel like God is slow, it means you feel like you're waiting on God. And I had a revelation, went, wow, so anytime I feel I'm waiting on God, God, I'm not really the one doing the waiting. He's patient with me. He's waiting for me. There's something in me is shifting or he's moving. So anytime I feel I'm waiting, I've just gone like, nope, nothing to be offended with God about. He's so mercifully waiting on me with a smile on his face like, we're having fun, bro. I love you. This is so good. Sometimes some of you feel like you're running another lap. Who's ever had to run an extra lap for coach? And you're like, man, I'm so mad at coach. But then I had a revelation like Jesus is the ultimate coach. And he's like, bro, I'm running with you. It's all right, man. Let's go four more. I'm happy with me. You're my guy. You're my gal, right? We're together. I love you. We're no distance, but let's do this deal together. Do you see what I'm saying? So whenever we're waiting, just know Jesus is waiting with us, all right? Okay, last time my wife said this, and I was so good. I think sometimes in our life, we need a healthy perspective on waiting. Biblically, because Abraham and Sarah did some waiting. Everyone say, wait.
Wait.
I mean, they didn't even get the promise till they were way past childbearing and old. Then they did some more waiting after that. So I just thought that was so healthy when my wife said that, because sometimes we feel like we're really carrying my cross. I've been carrying this prophetic word for 2 weeks, and I'm just like, I'm waiting on you, Lord. And the Lord's like, I love you. You're doing a great job waiting, but you might have a few more days in the saddle. Like, biblically, waiting sometimes is short in our terms and sometimes it's long in our terms. So I think perspective helps me sometimes. Some of you have 10-year words. I have words we've been waiting on for 10 years. But after my wife said that today, my first thought was, I thought, wow, we're pretty young on the waiting scale still. You know? Like, so we can wait longer. Let's say this. It is a joy.
It is a joy.
To wait on the Lord.
To wait on the Lord.
Let's pray this all together. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I repent,
for all offense in my heart.
I receive God's forgiveness.
I'm yearning for humility.
I'm just going to pray for us. Jesus, I pray that you would baptize us in the joy of humility. Like, I really believe, Jesus, that to live in humility would be the funnest lifestyle we could ever imagine. So, Lord, it is our dream to be servants. If only we could be your servants, we would have the funnest lives ever. So give us revelation of how practical and just how right today that is. God, thank you for today. I want to thank you for this team. This team in this room is the most hungry, the most sincere, the most joyful team I've been with in a long time. This is a hungry team right here. This is a team marked by humility. This is a group marked by humility. This is a group marked by hunger. This is a group marked by a radical love and an unoffendable heart. I want you to put your hands on your chest, and I want you to say this word, I receive.
That is true.
I'm going to pray for you. God, I thank you. There is no limit to what you can do through hungry people. And this is a hungry group. So God, I thank you. This group is characterized by limitlessness. There is no limit to what you can and will do through them in Jesus' name. So I pray for a fresh perspective and joy and hope just to refresh us today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.